which we're going to call him White Buffalo today, will be his name. And as I see if I can put this on like I know what I'm doing. If Armand can, I mean, yeah, if he could wear Mr. Rogers, then I can wear this. Suddenly I turned from senior minister to white, soaring, dancing eagle. Yeah.
There it is.
Thank you.
That will make it easier.
Okay, would you take my jacket, please? Okay. This is going to be a little challenge for me because I flail a lot and I move my hands a lot. So we'll see if how long this stays on. Now, this jacket, this shawl, is it called a shawl? Would that be proper? Was worn by a Cherokee grandfather. So this story, this parable I'm going to read you is based on a legend, so it may or may not have been worn by a grandfather. But there is a parable, and maybe you've heard it, and there's a little variation of it called The Two Wolves Within. An old grandfather said to his grandson, who came to him with anger at a friend who had betrayed and abandoned him and was very angry. So his grandfather said, "Let me tell you a story. I too at times have felt great hate for those who have taken so much, with no sorrow for what they do. But hate wears you down and does not hurt your enemy. It's like taking poison and wishing your enemy would die. I have struggled with these feelings many, many times. It is as if there are two wolves inside me. One is good and does no harm. This wolf lives in harmony with all around them and does not take offense when no offense was intended. This wolf only fights when it must, and even then does it in the right way. But then, there is the other wolf. Ah. The least little thing will send him into a fit of temper. He fights everyone all of the time for no reason. He cannot even think because his anger is so prevalent and the hate is so great. But it is a helpless anger, for his anger will change nothing. Sometimes it's hard to live with these two wolves inside of me, for both of them try to dominate my spirit. The boy looked intently into his grandfather's eyes, and he said, "Which wolf will win?" And the grandfather looked back into his eyes, and he said, "The wolf that you feed will win." So today we're talking about and challenging you today, what wolf are you feeding in your life? With your thoughts and your actions and your deeds, which would that be? Because the first part of the story is about this dark wolf. And the dark wolf, the thing is always with us. Some people call it a shadow side. You could call it your negative thoughts, deeds, and actions. And as a Unity person growing up, I sort of got upset with myself anytime I had a negative thought. I'm like, wait, I'm Unity. I'm supposed to be able to just banish those thoughts away and never have that happen. But the point of this story is that it is there if we feed it. And how can we feed it? Anybody have any ideas? Well, that would be feeding, yes, the good wolf, to send it love. Because if we have the negative feelings, we can move and act in spite of it. no matter what's happening. And that's how we actually, if we are sensing worry and fear and unmotivated, then we can move in spite of it. And that's indirectly feeding the good wolf. If you are having trouble with, say, your New Year's resolution halfway through, maybe what you wrote on your stone that you wanted to expand in your life is not quite happening. Maybe you haven't lost the 100 pounds yet that you were talking about. But you could get out today and walk 15 minutes and begin and move in spite of. What if you're having trouble putting a sales presentation together that you were supposed to show a month ago to your team? You can move in spite of it. You can do it anyway. That's feeding the good wolf. What if your spouse is not saying and doing and cleaning the dishes and doing everything that he's supposed to be doing, he or she is supposed to be doing? Now, make note, this is not a lesson about feeding that spouse to the wolves today. But what you can do is love that wolf anyway and love that wolf even more. And then you will be feeding the good wolf. Because, see, it's so much easier to feed this wolf when you procrastinate. When you are angry. When you say it can't be done. You're feeding that wolf. So it's a little bit trickier to feed the other wolf with creativity and love and harmony and blessings. That takes a little bit more time. Absolutely. But are you worthy of doing that? Do you feel worthy? Or are you giving up? Which would be feeding this wolf? Is there anything in your life that you're just putting your staff down and say, no, I give up. I'm drawing the line. I am not moving any forward. I don't care what you say. I don't care what that unity teacher is. I don't care what that forgiveness principle is. I'm going to hang on to that hate. And I'm not going to forgive. Unfortunately, I feel and sense that everyone in this room is willing to do that, is willing to forgive and to move forward and feed that good wolf. And by the way, don't we have two amazing wolves up here today? Thank you. Thank you very much. I know Randy had to dig deep today because he's one of the nicest people I know. So thank you for digging deep into character there and showing that. I have I used to have a dog named Waya who... That name means, here we go, thank you. Okay, here we go. Don't want to hurt myself with that. This is Waya right here. Waya means chief, actually means wolf in Cherokee, and she's a Siberian husky. And there was a couple different things I learned about Waya. Number one, that she loved to run. Boy, I found out that New York was not the exact right place for her. I took this picture in Michigan on the western coast. But you turn around, and for 1 second, she's three blocks down. And I learned that Siberian Huskies were sled dogs. And that's probably why it wasn't the best pet to have in New York. And that is Waya. You ever had a pet that could just look and read your thoughts and your feelings? And just seemed to know. And sometimes that was not always a good thing. But always love, always there, always connected. And the Native American teachings, they believed that everything is connected. Kind of like our first principle about oneness. And so I eventually had to let Waya go. I had to gently let her go. And now she's roaming and running with horses on a pasture and very happy. But I definitely miss her, and she was such an inspiration for me and an inspiration to talk about this today because of it forced me to look back at sort of the Native American teachings and realizing how much they align with our unity teachings. This is was a leader of a tribal nation known as Crazy Horse, and his name literally meant his horse is crazy. But he was in many wars, but known as an amazing leader. And by the way, if somebody has told you that your name means dancing lightly through the forest? It's probably not true. I did a little research on that too, but you could go with that. You could go with that. And in the movie, remember Dances with Wolves? The movie Dances with Wolves? I read his long real name and what that means, the Indian name, at the 9 o'clock, and it was very long. So FYI, it was not Steve, like in the movie. That's not what his American name would be, because their names were much longer than one English name. But I love this. I salute the light within your eyes where the whole universe dwells. For when you are at the center within you, and I am at that place within me, we shall be one. Once again, unity's first principle that gets into one God and one power active in my life and in the universe, and honoring that we are all connected, whether we realize it or not. No matter what wolf we are feeding, we need to be responsible for that. We have to bring our attention to which wolf that we are feeding, just like he did with this, because 4 days later, he was killed. He was in a scuffle with an American soldier, but he was sitting here with Sitting Bull, sitting with Sitting Bull, as they say, as this was written, and he was telling Sitting Bull that I envision a day where all the young white people will come and sit on our laps, and we can share our wisdom about oneness and how all things are connected on this earth. Now, a couple people you may recognize is Charles and Myrtle Fillmore, right there. They were in their 90s here. He was, and still living his unity principles. And as he said, lots of zeal that he did everything with in his life. But this is unity principle number 3. We are co-creators with God, creating reality through thoughts held in mind. Also in unity known as the law of mind action. And what else have you heard it called?
Law of attraction.
Law of attraction. Yeah, law of attraction. That thoughts held in mind produce after kind. What was the famous proverb on this? You said it, the King James Version. Very good, Don. I'm impressed. Yeah. As a man thinketh, so is he. Yes. And, of course, Jesus said, as you sow, you reap what you sow. With the idea being that if we plant a seed, it's going to grow. But at Unity, we believe in that echo effect, that what we're putting out to the universe with our thoughts and our feelings and our actions come back to us. And this was a very important principle in Native America as well. And to think about what side are we feeding. Now, one is dark, one is light. We're not trying to necessarily villainize the dark, because there is dark. There's night, there's day. But notice with this picture that around even the eye on the dark side, what's happening? The light cannot, the darkness cannot keep down the light. So that's why I like this picture that sort of shows the yin and yang and the polar opposites. But what spot in your heart could be healed today if you were willing? What unity tool or teaching that could you go a little bit deeper and make a decision? I'm done with that. I'm letting that go, because today is a new day. I like what the Dalai Lama said when he said that there are two days that are not important, that you can't do anything about: yesterday and tomorrow. To just be in the moment today and make that decision to feed the good wolf. I also like these Ten Commandments, the Native Ten Commandments. The earth is our mother, care for her. What else sticks out to you that may be relevant in your life today? These are the first 5 or 6 commandments. All life is sacred. So they believe this. They didn't just talk about this, these hundreds and hundreds of tribal nations. Even though there was warring and they had their issues, they returned to this teaching. I love this. Give thanks Do what is good for the good of all. Be truthful in a big unity one. Take responsibility for your actions and enjoy life's journey, but leave no tracks. If you put these teachings forward, then what might come back to you in your life? If you were to really meditate and pray on just these commandments. Some of you, many of you are familiar with this book by Joe Dispenza, You Are the Placebo, as we've been studying it and had a book study on it. And he talks about this, the opposite of this. Talks about low vibrations and what negative and stressful emotions can do in your life, even if they're just for a few minutes, feeding that other wolf. He says, on the other hand, emotions like gratitude and appreciation open your heart and lift the energy in your body to a new place. Out of the lower hormonal centers, gratitude is one of the most powerful emotions for increasing your level of suggestibility. It teaches your body emotionally that the event you are grateful for, listen to this part, the event you are grateful for has already happened, because we usually give thanks after a desirable event. However, if you bring up the emotion of gratitude before the actual event, your body, as the unconscious mind, will begin to believe that the future event has indeed already happened. That's powerful. So he has a graph here saying that's an elated emotion, and it's at the heart of unity because of the prayers we pray, knowing that whatever we are looking for, whether it be more love or prosperity, that is what we are praying. It's already available. It already exists. All we have to do is own it and affirm it and know it and go to that place. Not just an affirmation, I am strong. I'm strong. But not truly believing it. Instead, we reach deep and we say, I am strong. And you know it and you can feel it in your body immediately. So I want Ann Sadowski to join me on stage for a minute, because with these commandments, I'm actually going to go back. You have a couple favorite announcements here. You have been sort of our chairwoman for taking better care of the earth and leaving no tracks when we leave. Come over here and talk to us a little bit about what have we been doing at Unity of Dallas to take better care of the earth.
We started a strong recycling team here at Unity a couple months ago. It's a challenge to really, especially in the food part of it, rinsing the aluminum foil, rinsing, but getting...
Are you saying we eat a lot?
We eat a lot. We have a lot of potlucks. But just please look up on the internet in your own city what can be recycled and what doesn't, and please participate. Our planet is suffering. As much as we want to look at it and hold it in its positive love and light, our planet is suffering. And so it's up to us for future generations to have a place to live.
Yeah, thank you. Beautiful. Okay, so I wasn't done. Come on back here. Get your mic. It's just like homiletics class, isn't it? We weren't done. Yeah. Well, tell us a little bit about what you're holding, because are we gonna pass this pipe around, or what are we gonna do with that? What's up?
Well, I said to James, I have a Native American peace pipe, and it reminds me that the way we solve problems with each other today is not quite as fluid and simple as it was in this day. We have road rage, we have cubicle rage, we're shooting one another. I mean, just think about what the Indians did. Put a little peyote in the pipe.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Sit in a circle, hold hands, and communicate.
We can do.
Get a peace
Absolutely.
Pipe.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Everything was such a tradition then, and still is in so many circles, and I don't know how Little Big Chief kept this on, actually. How did they do that? I'm not sure. Before we move into a little bit longer meditation, when you are here and now, not jumping ahead, the miracle has happened. To be in the moment is the miracle. So that was the teaching when they were doing their ceremonies, is be somewhere else later. Be here right now and experience the energy. And that was by Osho, Hold on to what is good, even if it's a handful of earth. Hold on to what you believe, even if it's a tree that stands by itself. Hold on to what you must do, even if it's a long way from here. Hold on to your life, even if it's easier to let go. Hold on to a hand, and if you're comfortable, just grab a hand. If you're comfortable with that, I know not everybody here likes to be huggy, and that's fine. But just hold on to a hand, and you can do it in your mind as well. Even if someday I'll be gone away from you. What a beautiful prayer. Today, when you leave, go hold somebody's hand with that energy and that light and that love, and that will be feeding the good wolf. At this time, I'm going to ask, come on up. Yeah, that's right.